You are listening to the Beyond the High Road podcast with Shelby Milford, episode number 44. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Beyond the High Road.
Hello, everybody. How are you guys doing today? I have a little announcement for you, very quick one first, and then I'll remind you guys about it towards the end. And then we are going to be talking about neediness. So y'all, before I begin, I just want to let you guys know that this Saturday, August 5th, I am opening up the Beyond the High Road membership, the monthly program. I'm opening it up for one of our coaching calls. It's a 90-minute class. And during that time, during the coaching call, I'm going to take the beginning portion of it. I'm going to teach a class. Each month, we have a different course. This month, the topic is the skill that will change your life. Okay? Yeah. This Saturday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. Okay? So if you want to join in, you don't have to be coached. You don't have to come on. Nobody needs to see your face if you don't want to. But if you do want the opportunity to get coached after I'm done teaching the class, then you are welcome to join. Okay. So you have to go to beyondthehighroad.com/changeyourlife. You go to this link to sign up. Okay. So you want to sign up as soon as you can. That way you have a seat reserved. Okay. So the sooner the better. I know this is last minute, but I only decided that I wanted to do this the other day. And I wish there was a way to get in touch with all of you guys that listen to the podcast, but I don't know of another way except for to put out another episode. So until you guys join my email list, and then I'll be able to do that, tell you guys about stuff coming up sooner. But for now, free webinar this weekend, sign up. Okay? Okay. Eastern Standard Time, 11:30. Now let's get on with the episode. The underlying topic for today is actually emotional adulthood, being responsible for our own feelings. But I decided to specialize it towards the feeling of neediness, right? Or leaning on our children or significant other or somebody else in our life. Okay. Because I think that these are great examples of emotional, don't take me the wrong way when I say this, but emotional childhood. Okay. So we've all been, this is like not an uncommon thing to be in the place where you are acting out of fear. And so you in turn will sort of latch on to the person that you feel like you're losing. And in the case of alienation, this is all of us, right? At one point or another, we felt this way. It's not an uncommon behavior, but the desperation, the feeling that we have when we are in fear of losing somebody is agony, right? It's awful and it's all consuming, right? It's exhausting because we feel like we have to sort of scheme and plan and manipulate essentially in order to coax the person back home, back into our bubble. Yeah. So I hadn't spoken to my daughter since before her birthday. It was like the mid-May, I think, was the last time I'd spoken to her up until last week. We are at this point in time, we're scheduled for bi-weekly Zoom calls. About 3 weeks ago, I was waiting for our scheduled Zoom call and it didn't happen. I won't go into all the details, but basically I've been stood up. And last week we got on the call. I was so excited to see my daughter's face. I couldn't contain myself. I was like a little kid before Christmas or like getting ready to go do like his favorite thing. You know, I was just so excited to see her. I hadn't seen her so long. I needed to know, like, she just started driving and, you know, all of the things that every parent wants to know about their kid. She had gone on vacation and she'd done the things. And so I wanted to hear about all of it. And I didn't hide my excitement whenever we got on. And she was somewhat closed off when we first started. You know, there was an expressionless face and she was like, you know, very closed off. And I, on the other hand, was like the kid. And I was like, tell me all the things. Blah! And I was so excited just to see her beautiful shining face, right? And her beautiful eyes and her, right? And within the first couple minutes, I think she might have expected, which I don't even know why, you know, Well, I do know why, but it's not typical for me to catch attitude, you know, to be like pressure-y or anything. But I think she might have expected that of me because she was closed off. I think she might have been expecting me to maybe make her feel guilty or something. But I was thrilled just to see her. And within a matter of minutes, her guard completely went down. And we ended up going overtime and laughing and having like just a regular, great, funny, like hilarious, actually, conversation, just sharing some like really just fun moments together. And I was thinking about it afterwards, and I was thinking about how that call could have gone much differently. Like it could have been just disastrous. She could have stayed closed off. I could have been like, well, if I could have seen you last week, well, if you would just show up, or, oh, you went on vacation with, you know, I could have shown up heavy, needy, leaning, hurt, emote, right? And I know that doesn't serve me, doesn't serve anybody. And so that's not even like a go-to for me anymore, where once I'm sure it was. It'd be interesting actually to look back on. So I was wondering what the difference was. And I am sure that the reason it went as well as it did is because I did not need her. I did not need her to be or do anything different than who she was and what she is. Yeah. And I think I probably didn't in the past practice this so well because I thought that by accepting what was going on, the situation of alienation, that I was giving up my power. I thought that if I normalized it and made it, like admitted it, that it would make it more real and that I'd be giving them permission to continue. And what I realize is that they never needed my permission to do the alienation to begin with. They were going to alienate regardless, permission or not. And so what my stance was before of like not wanting to accept what was, what is really truly not only hurting me, but it was hurting my relationship with my daughter in the exchanges that we did have. My ego told me that if I act like everything is okay, and that if I didn't make her feel bad, or if I didn't stand up for what I believed, that I was in turn the doormat. Like I was like openly like giving over all of my power. And I tell you, it's just not so. What it did to me was cause me to resist so much good in my life and so much good in my exchanges, not only with my daughter, but like with all the other people around in my life. When I was not accepting of what, like the reality, the current reality, but even back then, that current reality, and when I didn't normalize it, I was in resistance to what was happening, then I was creating this dis-ease within me and within my interactions with everybody. Because then I felt, had all this shame around the alienation because I had not come to terms with it, right? With what is happening, with what has happened. And so then I felt really shamey around other people. I was holding it like close to me and felt like I had something to hide always. And then I felt slighted, like taken advantage of by, of course, by the people alienating my child from me. And so it was just this big fucking fight, right? I lived in fear. So when we cling on to somebody, or when we want to make them feel like, make them aware of what they have done to hurt us for the purposes of wanting them to change and to do it our way. One, this is called a manual. It's like when we want other people to behave in a specific way so that we can feel a specific way. It's a controlling behavior. But two, when we put our fears onto somebody else, we end up pushing them away. We push them far, far away. Most people cannot take that kind of pressure on them because we're placing our expectations on them for them to care for us. That's what happens when we want our children to change, when we want our children to need and want us. And because they're already going through an active state of alienation, right? And the narcissist or pathological parent in their life is already expecting so much from them. The last thing that they can probably take is us needing them in that way, putting more pressure on them. It's parentification, it's adultification, right? When we do that. And let me just add that when we need them to behave in any way so that we can feel better, because that's what it is, when we're in fear that they're going to leave, we want validation from them. We want them to show us love, to make us feel needed. Then we're in essence doing the same thing that the narcissist is doing. You see that? You see how like the narcissist wants them to behave a certain way by alienating us so that they feel needed. And then when we, out of fear, understandably so, right? Because a child rejecting a parent isn't a normal behavior, yeah? So it makes sense that we would act out of fear, that you would act out of fear and want to grasp, right? And try to pull them back in your mind, as they should be, right? That's usually one of the thoughts, is that this shouldn't be happening. They shouldn't be rejecting me. I shouldn't be all bad. The other parent shouldn't be all good. Those are only fear-inducing and anger, negative feeling-inducing thoughts. So when we do that, we are in essence acting exactly in the way that we're faulting the narcissist for. It looks different on the outside. It's less sinister, but it's still the same thing. We are trying to control the way that they think about us. We are trying to make them need us again because we need them. You see, like narcissistic supply, the narcissist needs them in order to make themselves feel better, right? And to give them their supply. We're needing them, you're needing them in order for you to feel better, right? So maybe if you haven't yet looked at it that way, then hopefully that will help you. But it's not necessarily so easy to just say, okay, I won't do that anymore. The crux of the problem, the deal is that when you need your child or you need a partner or you need whoever in life to behave a certain way, we all do it, okay? But when you need them to behave a certain way so that you can feel a certain way, this is basically living in an emotional childhood. And so in order to live in an emotional adulthood, then you must be responsible for all of your feelings, all of your emotions. They're yours. You have thoughts that cause your emotions every time, no matter what anybody else does. Somebody else can lie to you. And they're, because they lied to you, that's not why you're mad. You're mad because you have a thought. That thought is up to you. Not that you don't want to be mad at somebody if they lied to you, but that anger is yours. And you have it because you had a thought like, they shouldn't lie to me. I expected them to not lie to me. I trusted them and now I don't. Something like that, right? None of those thoughts are wrong and none of those thoughts are bad. None of that, right? But it is your thought that caused the emotion. Does that make sense? And this is a really good thing because when you know that it's your thoughts, like it's always your responsibility any way that you feel, then you never need anybody else to act a specific way in order for you to feel any way. Does that make sense? So I made a little protocol for you to move through the neediness and into emotional adulthood. And so the acronym is NEED, okay? Fittingly, the N is for notice, okay? When you notice that you are wanting your child or anybody in your life to behave a certain way so that you can feel better. This happens. I was speaking with a couple clients last night. One in particular was speaking about how her son, who is alienated, the father is exercising alienating strategies, is leaving for college very soon, right? And she is not being asked to be a part of the move and a part of the process as she expected to be, hoped to be. And it makes sense that she would feel, you know, sad, feel rejected, feel discarded. Yeah. But what she was doing was trying to scheme, trying to think of ways that she could present herself in order to be invited. And if that wasn't going to happen, then she was already like, okay, well, maybe I lost out on this whole moving to college thing. But the next holiday that comes up, she was already planning how she was going to get there and what she was going to do and all the things. And so she was wanting her son, needing her son to need her so that she didn't feel the discomfort of the emotion she was already having, the emotion of feeling discarded, the emotion of feeling hurt, of feeling sad, right? All of these emotions are completely valid, right? All of them are. But her action of leaning on her son and needing, wanting, I should say, him to behave different, to think differently about her wasn't serving her. And it's not serving the relationship with him. She was reaching, oh, he's leaving, which already, first off, parents that aren't experiencing alienation and their firstborn is leaving, this is already an emotional thing. You see on Facebook all the time, and I'm sure it's going to be coming up a bunch, you know, like the beginning of the empty nester situation, right? Moms get very upset, especially when their sons first leave for college. So it's already an emotional thing. And then on top of that, you add in alienation. So it makes sense that she would be sad, right? That she would be having the emotions. And those emotions are hers, yeah? And now that he is an adult, he's going to behave however he wants. Now, she could go and be needy, and many moms out there, the ones that aren't experiencing alienation, do the same. They are needy. Don't you need this? Don't you need that? Can I come? Well, you know, all the things. They nag and they're needy and they're, you know, just always in kids' business. But it's not helpful, especially in an alienation situation, because what it does is it just pushes her son away from her because he already feels so much pressure coming from the other side. That pressure is too much for him. And so the first person to push away, the easiest, is the one that's already being alienated. So yeah, I just got off track. Notice when you're doing it, when you start to feel like frantic and manipulative, right? Like you're trying to scheme to figure out how you can get another person to behave a specific way. When you're like, how could I word this so that they'll like me or that they'll respond the way that I want them to? Or what could I do to make them want to see me? When you notice yourself doing that, then also notice how you're feeling at the time. Like stop yourself and be like, okay, how am I feeling? Where am I feeling it in my body? So if you can take a deep breath in and just slow down, and it's going to be hard in that moment because when you're in the spot where you're feeling needy and you feel like you're grasping, it feels urgent. It feels like you can't stop right now because you don't have time because you need to do the thing to make them do the thing. Okay. So it's going to go against everything in your body to have yourself stop and like take some breaths. And exhale and like close your eyes and notice how you're feeling inside. Like do a scan of your body. And then once you locate where you're feeling the little, it's usually like in your belly or it might be like solar plexus, sternum area, you know, all the way up and down the center of your body. Sometimes it's up through the throat. Notice where it's at and just breathe into the emotion, right? Allow it to be there. And then when you're done noticing it, name the emotion, okay? So notice, name, that's your N, okay? Your E, the first E, is evaluate. Evaluate the cost, how much time you have spent and how much time you might spend going down that road, trying to manipulate them. Evaluate the outcome of what might happen if you continue to do the thing. They could push me away further. We don't really like to base what anybody else's reactions so much. It's not a controllable thing, how other people behave. But you know that you could, by latching onto somebody, by being needy, you could push them further away. Yeah? So evaluate the cost is your first E. Your second E is emotion. Name the emotion that you want to feel, the goal emotion, okay? So You just simply ask yourself, how do I want to feel about this situation? So if we're using an example of my daughter not showing up, okay, let's just take a couple weeks back. So I was waiting for the Zoom call and it got to be about 6 minutes after the hour. And I thought, that's usually not the best sign. And so I was just like, okay, well, I knew this was a possibility. How do I want to feel about this situation? In that moment, I chose on purpose to feel at peace and a little bit disappointed. Yeah, that felt true to me. I wasn't going to choose to feel happy about it because that's trying to like trick my brain. I chose to feel at peace about it. I went into the call feeling before signing on, knowing it was a possibility, but I felt at peace with it. And I asked myself again when it was like maybe 20 after, it wasn't going to happen. And so I was like, yeah, I want to feel a little bit disappointed, at least for the moment, but I also want to feel at peace. I want to feel empowered, in control, and not slighted. Yeah, that's how I went about it. So that would be the best thing to do. So you evaluate the costs, right? And then you decide on the emotion that you want to feel. You do this all with your prefrontal cortex. You're mindfully deciding like what's believable to me and what can I feel the most empowered with. The last step is devotion. Devote all of your attention to serving the new desired emotion. I was talking about this in a recent episode too. Your primitive brain will be like, yeah, but aren't you pissed off about that? I mean, you should be pissed off about that. Or another thing is you'll share the experience with somebody else. And especially when you're new to this work, this happens a lot where people you know will be like, or family members or friends will be like, oh, are you okay? That's horrible. What a terrible experience. I don't know what I would do if I was you. This right there, that is the most toxic thing to fall into. They can say it because they don't, it's fine, right? That's not a problem. But when you feel permitted to start feeling poorly because somebody else says that you should, that is the most disempowering thing ever, to like give in to negative emotion because somebody else suggests that you should. Somebody says that to you, oh, I would feel like shit. I'd be so pissed off. Yeah, I considered being pissed off, but I realized also that it doesn't really help me to do that. It just wastes my energy. So instead, I've decided that I am a little bit disappointed. Yeah, it is disappointing. I love my daughter. I want to see her, you know, but I'm also at peace with it because I know that I cannot control the situation, right? I cannot physically go there and make her get on Zoom. And if I could do that, then obviously I'd be spending time with her face to face, right? But like, there's nothing I can do about the actions of somebody else, right? So the best thing that I can do is to manage my own mind around it. So you want to devote yourself to the emotion that you've chosen already. Again, it does not mean that you're giving in or you're permitting somebody else's behavior. The reality is we cannot control other people's behaviors, right? We can't. We just can't. So it's not like, I just think that's a crappy thing to be sold. Oh, you're going to allow them to do that? You're going to allow them to treat you this way? Yeah, you can draw boundaries, right? And then you take care of what you will do in the case that they don't follow your boundaries, right? If they are doing something to harm you, yeah? How somebody else acts, that's on them. That says everything about who they are, right? So that's all I have for you guys today. This Saturday, which is August 5th, I am doing a free training. If you're considering like been wanting to maybe do a membership, if you wanted like a little taste of what it's like, then come on this Saturday. So the link to sign up so that you can get the link, the Zoom link, is beyondthehighroad.com/changeyourlife. Do it sooner than later. It's free. It's on Zoom. And the topic is the skill that will change your life. Okay. And just as a hint, it sort of feeds off of today's episode. Normally they're hour calls, but this week it's going to be a 90-minute call, beyondthehighroad.com/changeyourlife. That is it. So if you want to get a little taste and come do a free little class on Saturday, come on, 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. All right, y'all. I'll see you Saturday. Thanks so much for listening today, guys.
I'm honored that you chose to share your time with me. If you like what you've been hearing and you want more, come join me in the new monthly membership, where we take the concepts that you hear about here and, using a logical framework, you learn to apply them to your specific situations, upgrading your thoughts and your life, even while experiencing the grief of alienation. For more information, go to beyondthehighroad.com. See you soon.